Ladies and gentlemen, my name is
Scott.
Hey, yo.
Is that his younger brother? It's gotta be
Jeff.
The cream will rise to the top, oh yeah.
And you're listening to
all of the great action figures from our good friends at Hasbro.
The Fully Posable.
Have your own WrestleMania with all your favorite figures.
Wrestling figure.
He's sold separately from LJN.
Podcast.
And we are the Mount Rushmore of professional wrestling.
Scott, joining us via Skype is Marty DeRosa. Marty, welcome back to the show, man.
Hello, boys. Good to be back here on what I feel is like, I don't even know, like a Christmas. There's like a Christmas Eve type of feeling in the air for wrestling figure collectors. And I'm not even like a huge collector, but I'm like happy for you guys. I'm happy for everybody I know that collects figures. It's kind of like, okay, here we go. This is like, we were waiting for like another big company to start up. We got that. Now it's like, okay, baby, it's going to be finally that time when you go down the aisle of a store and there's like multiple figures from different federations. It's like getting back to the good old days.
Game on.
Like Hasbro and Galoob all over again.
Oh, Hasbro and Galoob or the greatest days were when we had ECW, WCW, and WWF figures all at the same time. That was like bananas.
Marty, why don't you get your plugs out of the way? Podcast, social media?
Marty and Sarah at Love Wrestling, that's the podcast. And at Marty DeRosa on all the social media, but that's not important. Let's get into why everybody's listening and they want your sage-like wisdom of these new figures that were being gifted by the wrestling gods.
But I also want to throw out that you are doing $5 wrestling in Tampa, WrestleMania weekend.
That's right. WrestleMania weekend, Thursday at 11:59. The superstars of $5 wrestling have put out an open challenge in the spirit of Jeff Hart versus Joey Janela, one of my favorite matches of 2019. The gauntlet has been laid down. If you are a wrestler in the Tampa area for Mania weekend, for WrestleCon weekend, the open challenges have put out there. I've heard one of the matches, and if it happens, it's going to be very fun. And then there's some other ones that is, as long as schedules permit, we're going to have a real fun show.
And here over WrestleMania weekend, I think I was most excited about meeting Nikita Koloff. But Jeff literally just told me yesterday, Marty, that you were doing a $5 wrestling. One of the most fun times I've had as a wrestling fan was seeing you and Colt in L.A. do a live $5 wrestling. I don't know that I've laughed that hard since then. And I am so looking forward. I cannot wait for that event. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah, this is going to be good. We've had a little resurgence in the last couple of years. And we've got a new champ in Jeff Hart. And he's put the challenge out there to anybody. And who knows? Who knows who will show up? But that's the magic of Mania Weekend.
Marty, before we get into the figures also, Scott and I want to congratulate you on your comedy album as well. Love the comedy album. Celeste and I grabbed it the night it dropped. We're happy for you. In fact, Scott just did a segment this past episode where we kind of said good things happen to good people. And you and Sarah are those good people that we are happy for all success. And we also wanted to congratulate you on your comedy album.
Ah, thank you very much. Yeah, it's called Live from Parts Unknown. It's not super wrestling heavy, but it's available on iTunes and wherever else you get your, you know, music and comedy albums and stuff like that. So I'm real proud of it. It was real cool.
Yeah, we're happy for you on that one, man. Also, what do you think about Retro Hiatus?
Oh, I think it's a bummer, man. Yeah. I think it's like, I don't know. You know, I think it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if they were listening to the fans enough there. Like, I would think that, you know, these companies would have guys like you on speed dial and be like, I'm going to run something by you. What do you think about this? And I think had they done that, you guys would have been like, nah. So who knows?
So we have an idea where we're not going to put out series 5 or 6, but they'll go directly to 5 and below. What do you think about this?
Yeah. But series 7 will hit mass retail. What do you guys think? Thumbs up?
Yeah.
This works?
I mean, I think there's a lot of these companies that would just do well if they had just the people who have their finger on the pulse of the fan base to be like, I don't know if that's a good idea. Or like, you know, guys, you're really hitting us with a lot of the same figure or something like that. Just, you know, who knows? And I, that's another reason why I think, you know, some of these newer toy companies that aren't just making wrestling figures, that are making, you know, Star Wars figures, or, you know, everybody's so excited about G.I. Joe figures coming back.
Absolutely.
Like, these are the fans who grew up with this stuff. So it's not just like, yeah, I got, you know, you watch like the toys that made us, and they're just like, oh, I got dumped this line. I wasn't doing anything at the place. And they say, hey, you got to do this or whatever. These are, you know, whether it's the guys putting out, you know, the Mask Republic or the AEW figures, like, these are wrestling fans who know what they want. They know what, you know, oh, just that extra little accessory made that figure so much cooler for me when I was a kid, whether it's like Nikolai Volkov's hat or Junkyard Dog's chain. It just was that extra, like, ooh, we got a chain on this guy. That's a big deal. So those are the kind of people that I want in charge. And hopefully they, you know, rely on guys like you or other collectors to be like, what do you think of this? And you could be like, look, man, I don't think we're going to be, you know, running out to get the new Masters of the Universe type of figures, but those retros, those were good.
I love that you brought up kind of some of the other players in the game, because it's been so long that Mattel has really been it. FTC really stepped in 2016, and they've had a great showing so far, but now we've got other guys coming up like Storm. We've now got Jazzwares Wicked Cool with the AEW line. You've got Master Republic. You've got Super 7. All these other players are coming into the game. Do you think that, you know, we kind of got into the talk of the retros going a hiatus, maybe not listening to their fans. Do you think these other companies now stepping into the wrestling figure game are going to kind of force Mattel to take a step back and maybe be like, man, we really need to kind of reevaluate what we're doing, maybe listen to the fans more? Because Jeff and I, it seems like, are every week a broken record. Distribution. We can't find figures out in this area, but across the United States, it seems to come in pockets, right? Like, people have no problem finding them, but then you'll see other pictures from Target and Walmart, and it's bare shelves, bare pegs. So do you think that this is going to kind of force Mattel's hand to kind of reevaluate where they stand in the wrestling figure market?
Absolutely. One of the things I was thinking is, one, I thought to myself, I go, you know, the last thing Mattel's going to want is one day Vince McMahon to walk down the aisle of a Target. But I'm like, wait, Vince has probably never been in a Target. So I don't think that's really going to happen. But he'll have, like, you know, Shane will come up to, Dad, you know, I took the kids to Target the other night, and their whole, all the AEW guys, and there was just a bunch of AJ Styles and Sheamus retros. Like, we got to get our distribution out there. It's like, you know, yeah, there's just a, Vince calls Mattel and, what's this about a Tito Santana figure being the only one my grandkids can find at a Target? This is ridiculous, you know? And I think what happens, and, you know, I think Mattel was in the spot forever where it's like, they're the only game in town. And, you know, it's easy to get a little lazy when it's like, no one else is going to be taking that slice of the pie from you guys. But now all of a sudden it's like a competition. And, you know, just like the WWE will go, oh, the AEW's not our competition, everybody's our competition. It's like, I'm sure Mattel doesn't want to be like, wait a minute, our figures are not selling as much as they used to, or these other figures are flying off the shelves, or, you know, people are more excited about this line, so they're going to have to step it up as well, yeah.
Are you seeing distribution problems in your area?
So I live in the city in Chicago, so I just have those smaller Targets, and they used to have some random figures. They used to have just a handful of Elites or Basics, and they do not carry them anymore at all. There's no more wrestling figures at any of the city Targets that I will stop into and Target, unless it's like old dead stock, but they've even gotten rid of those in most of them.
Wow.
So it's like, I'll go to Walgreens every once in a while by my house around the corner. There's a Walgreens. They've had the same Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss figure. If anybody's hunting those down, let me know. I can grab them for you. And I think they have like one Drew McIntyre that they have there. I think I bought the old last Dean Ambrose that was there for a custom figure, and that's about it. So it's like, if I was trying to collect, I think I would just get everything online, which is, but I'm not a card guy. I thought about you guys the other day. I have a buddy who was about to meet Keith Lee at an Evolve show for a signing, and he got his Keith Lee Chase figure in the mail. Ooh. From Amazon, and it was all bent up.
Oh.
And he's like, it can't go on the wall. There's just a little corner of it that's bent, and it, but it can't go on the wall. And I'm like, I understand. He goes, I know I sound like a maniac. I go, no. I get it.
I know some guys.
He's like, God, if I can't get him. Yeah, he's like, if I can't get another one in time, like, this is really going to be a bummer. So I get it.
He was speaking to his target audience, I'll tell you.
For sure.
Is the Target by your house, is it like connected to other stores, like super? It's not like in its own segregated place. It's just like, connected.
No. There's one that has condos above it, and there's one that has like a retirement home above it. So where there's one downtown that's just, yeah, these are like the, you know, the city Targets that they're not too big. One's actually a little bigger downtown Chicago. I'm on the north side of Chicago. But yeah, everywhere I go, I always look. I always want to just see what's available at places. But you know, you can't find figures anywhere.
That really sucks when Walgreens has a better showing than Target. But to kind of take it back to take it back to the retros a little bit, what do you think the plan, say they come back, which we all hope that they do, say they do come back, what do you think the battle plan for Mattel is going to be to kind of give them a better showing this time around? I keep saying I think that they're going to go to an online-only distribution for those as opposed to a retail showing, because they just didn't seem to do well aside from Series 1 and 2. They really seem to just kind of stagnate, and then the distribution was sketchy after that. Like Jeff said, two series consecutively seemed to just go straight to Five Below. What do you think they do with retros? Like, what would be your fix? You're kind of handed this plate of crap. Like, okay, it failed. We want to resurrect it. Marty, what would you do to fix this moving forward?
I think, and you guys have both said this on the podcast before, I agree every time you say it, some type of like subscription-based online service where they're not going to be in the stores. We know who wants these. They're the diehard of diehards. That way you can get into things like with Maddie Collector, with like the Masters of the Universe, of just kind of like put up a poll. Like, who do you guys want? Like, what better way to know exactly what people want than to be like, okay, who do you want? And, you know, no offense to Seamus, I don't know if that would have been the guy that everybody was like clamoring to get. And then you'll find out, oh, okay, here's who you really do want. And then they can, you know, go ahead and do that. And, you know, you can just sort of ship directly, cut out the middleman. Because I did have my buddy, Patrick, who he runs Challengers Comics in Chicago. And whenever I go in there, I always talk to him about wrestling and wrestling figures and stuff. And he just bought an old Dean Ambrose that was on the shelves at a Walmart in his local Walmart out the suburbs. So it's like, I mean, if you could still be like, maybe I'll pick up that Ambrose after all. That's, you know, a figure that's been warming the pegs, as you guys say. So it is like, okay, let's not have that happen. But at the same time, I just, everyone I know that when they came out were so excited. And it's like, that's my, I always tell Sarah, that's like my test is like when either something big in wrestling happens or like when the figures were announced, everybody was just sending me photos. Did you see these? Did you see these? What do you think of these? And that's like a nice, you know, I know we're in the wrestling bubble and especially in the wrestling figure bubble with you guys, but I think that's a good indicator of like people are into these. And we talked a little bit before we started recording. I have friends who are like, I bought all the New Japan figures already, and I'm going to buy all the AEW figures because, you know, they want the complete sets. They can't go back and buy all the Mattels. It's just impossible unless you're a very, you know, wealthy collector. Or buy someone's collection or something. But like, this is something where if you're just like, I like AEW, and I have friends who don't watch WWE, they'll watch NXT, but they don't watch WWE. They love Japan, they love AEW. So it's like, perfect. I'm gonna buy all these figures. And I think a lot of people are just gonna buy the complete sets, you know, online.
Yeah, I agree. And you mentioned those retros sitting on pegs for so long. We could have started having birthday parties for them with as long as they were on there. Like, hey, it's his second birthday of being on the pegs. Like, let's have a little party for him.
Yeah, I mean, I guarantee there's employees at Walgreens who have not been there as long as that Sasha Banks and Alexa Bliss figure.
You're so right.
Like, you know, you work at one of those stores and it's like, hey, your anniversary, and you get a little extra star or something, or like Cracker Barrel, you get an extra star on your apron.
Little flair.
I mean, that poor Alexa Bliss, she has been there for a minute.
Marty, you brought up the AEW figures. What do you think about them? You and Scott were having a conversation about them this right before we started recording, but you saw the pictures this morning. What was your overall thoughts?
I thought they looked great. I thought they were real cool. Some of them just, they nailed Others, you know, I think everybody kind of had the same vibe of like perfect, perfect, perfect. The wave two I just saw today, and I told you guys that I thought that the John Moxley one, what was that series of Jax figures that I said it looked like?
It was Finishing Moves.
Yeah, I thought he had a little bit of a Finishing Moves vibe to him. But everybody else, like the Hangman Adam Page, and I don't know if I call myself a customizer. I like to kind of like kit bash or whatever, like just kind of do little fix ups on my figures. So when I saw that Adam Page figure, I was like, oh, this is just black boots, black trunks. Like this is the figure I would have bought like four of, so I could just start popping heads off and moving things around. Because I remember when Jax came out with that Stone Cold. That had the bone crunching with the white star on his boots. I remember buying like so many of those because I was just like, this is the base of so many custom figures. So I always look for that in a figure. But the heads look great on everybody. MJF looks so good. The Hangman Page looked great. The Bucks. Was everybody kind of like not quite sold on Matt? They thought Nick looked good, but Matt looked a little. Not accurate.
That seemed to be the consensus around the community. A lot of people were like, Nick looks good, it's got an expression, but Matt, his face kind of looked pointy a little bit if you looked at it.
Yeah.
A lot of people just weren't, I should say, not impressed by the Matt as much.
I would say from the bottom of the feet to the neck, it's like a perfect figure. I love the jackets. I love the outfits that they put him in. I love that you can pose him in that custom pre-match pose. I think they look great, mm-hmm. but from the neck up, honestly, I don't like either of them. And I actually think that FTC did a better job on the Bucks head sculpts than Jazzwares Wicked Cool. But look, the cool thing is there's going to be more Young Bucks figures, so they're only going to get better. Yeah. So kudos. I think the entire line, when I saw it, I'm like, oh man, these are amazing. And then when I saw Series 2 this morning, I've only gotten feelings from figures that they could be a potential figure of the year a couple of times. The Dalton Castle from FTC. As soon as I saw it, I'm like, this could be a figure of the year. The Macho Man San Diego Comic-Con exclusive from last year. Even though Jeff had it rated as the number 7 figure of the year, I'm like, this could be an incredible, like, this could be figure of the year. I'll tell you who I'm thinking that about now, MJF. That figure is damn near perfect.
I couldn't agree more. And I think, too, with one of the things that I noticed, and I don't know if this will be something that they talk about when the Mattel guys all sort of review what they saw this weekend, but when I saw the AEW figures and then I saw I think you guys might have tweeted it out, those the anniversary figures they're doing or whatever, like bringing back the classics, and they showed that Christian figure, it looked like such an old figure to me, like it was back to the old, like, oh, that the face scan, I don't know if that looks like him at all, and
it's a little rough
to me. It looked like a figure that would have came out in like the first handful of waves of that series. So I think AEW is going to sort of push WWE or Mattel to make a little more lifelike scans or something like that. And I remember too, when back in the day when Galoob figures came out, when the WCW Galoob figures came out, I thought they were just more like more serious figures, and it wasn't like where the Hasbros were a little more, I don't know if cartoonish is the word, but The Galoob just seemed like more like serious, and I really dug that. So when I saw that Christian again, I was like, oh man, this just looks like an old wrestling figure.
That's a good point. I'm kind of picturing it in my head now, and you're absolutely right. It kind of does, and you're right. The face sculpt on that one is a little bit rough. I know a lot of people are a big fan because they want that Brood Christian.
Sure.
And it seems like that one's going to have to be dressed up a little bit with the sunglasses, much like the early Sasha Banks Mattel releases.
Yeah, you're going to have to kind of hide. Because to me, it looked like it was going to come with like that big coin or like those big coin belts or something. Like, it just reminds me of like that old, like, you know, that old like Dustin Rhodes or the old Cody Rhodes figure or something where you look at it and you're like, well, that doesn't really look like Cody. But okay.
What was your favorite out of the AEW figures that you saw?
I loved the both Lucha Brothers.
Yes.
I thought Kenny Omega's gear was unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really cool. But I think overall the Cody looks just amazing. I think from top to finish, that Cody, I think, is my number one. That and the MJF for the wave two.
It's a rough time right now for collectors because now they have to decide between WWE, AEW, Lucha Libre.
I need a picture with an elite, a WWE elite, I need a picture next to a New Japan figure, next to an AEW figure, next to, you know, the Master Public. Like, I just need to see everybody's on the same page, which is pretty cool. I wasn't sure if they were going to be a little taller than the Mattels, but it makes so much sense that everybody's on the same page now. The ring looked awesome. The ring looked really cool.
The ring looked fantastic.
Well, they're doing two of them.
Yeah, the Elite Ring or whatever they're calling it or whatever, the real scale ring.
Yep.
Looked really great. Would love to see maybe an Aubrey Edwards figure, maybe a ref, you know, Bryce Remsburg finally get a referee figure, which I always harp on whenever I'm on here. It's like, why don't you have a ref figure? This is crazy.
We need refs.
Yeah, or if somebody's just an independent, you know, figure maker, do a Kickstarter, you know, make some refs. I think everybody would buy them. But I also think, like, you know, who knows? Maybe everybody likes wrestling figures as much as I do. Maybe they don't, but I would love a ref figure.
Even as a kid playing with a set, it was always cool having a ref in the ring because you could make the ref bumps happen, make them an actual part of the match instead of just two guys in there wrestling. Made a lot of sense as a kid playing with figures.
I had to have Mean Gene pull double duty. I would have loved a referee. I would have loved a referee.
Which is funny because with the LJNs, I didn't like having the referee in the ring. So I would keep him on the outside. And then if there was a pinning attempt, the ref would slide in under the bottom rope and then make the count. So it was always delayed a little bit.
If that ref's in the ring, that's going to take some stars off your match. Get him out of the way.
What's cool now is a lot of people are going to be able to make, figure photographers especially, are going to be able to make the dream matches of Okada and Kenny Omega, you know, from Wrestle Kingdom or whatever it may be. They're going to be able to now recreate that, doing a Rainmaker pose or V-trigger, whatever it may be. They're going to now be able to capture that one shot.
Oh, yeah, and if you're a, you know, not that any of us would ever play with our wrestling figures or run fig feds or anything like that. But, I mean, what a time. What a time to have that and to just be like, oh, my God, what an embarrassment of riches of wrestling figures. And it's like, I have to say, though, all the wrestling figure collectors out there have, like, waited so long and they, like, really deserve this. And, like, I also love G.I. Joe, and I'm so excited that they're you know, bringing that line back, too, because, like, people have just been waiting for so long. And, you know, we got spoiled back in the day when you could go to a Toys R Us and just walk down that aisle and be like, okay, here's, you know, at least half an aisle dedicated to wrestling figures from different companies and stuff. And it's like, I don't know, that's the way it should be, because I go to conventions, you know, I see people out there buying wrestling figures. It's like, people want these things, and a broken record on this podcast or any podcast or any just conversation with wrestling fans, it's like, Mattel, I want to buy these. I want to give you my money. Why can't you let me? I've never seen a business model where it's like, I know you'd like to buy these, but, you know, we can't, like, you know, it's just like, how many, I would love just a montage of, like, sad wrestling fans walking in and out of, like, Targets and Walmarts, just empty handed. Or like, you know, I would have bought this. I would have bought these figures. That's a bummer that you can't. I will say this, though, with Mattel, the Heavy Machinery figures looked awesome. And I love a new mold. I love when people have to make new molds. So I love the Heavy Machinery figures.
What did you think about the Legends line from Mattel coming back with the Razor, the Bobby Heenan in the Weasel suit?
Love that. I love the Bobby Heenan in the Weasel suit. Does he have the Andre singlet on underneath it?
Good question. I haven't seen him out of the suit.
We haven't seen any pictures of him out of the suit yet.
He better.
It better. He better. Because I was just watching the other night. I was watching the event, the one from Canada with Hogan versus Orndorff. It's on the network now. And I was watching it with Sarah, and Heenan was, he'd wrestled earlier. So he had just his gear and a zip up hoodie on or whatever. And Sarah was like, Bobby Heenan wrestled. I'm like, oh baby, did he ever?
Bobby Heenan did it all.
He was so good in the ring. One of the best bumpers of all time. But absolutely. I think that, what other colors have there had with Razor? Cause that blue, I'm like, it's cool, but I don't remember him wearing that color blue. Really?
It was Mania 11.
He wore that at Mania 11, huh?
Yeah, against Jarrett.
Because I had seen the light blue. They've had red, right?
Yeah.
They had pink and yellow and just about everything. Okay, so we're getting to the point where it's like, we're running out of colors with him. So
exactly.
So let's go crazy.
Yep. And apparently, somebody said this one was just like the Defining Moments. It was basically a repaint of his Defining Moments figure. I don't know if that's true. I'd have to put him side by side.
Okay.
But they said it's the same accessories and everything. The vest, the knee pads, it's basically a repaint of his Defining Moments. So I don't know if that's true or not, but getting that Bobby Heenan for me, because that is my most wanted figure of all time, is that Jax exclusive. And of course, trying to get your hands on one is pretty much impossible. So that Mattel is going to be doing one in a mass release. Like, they didn't like super impress me at New York because, look, they had a lot of competition. But the Heenan alone, for me, is really a highlight of the show. The MJF and that Bobby Heenan, I think, are my two biggest from the show so far.
What do you mean that Heenan's tough to get a hold of?
Well, yeah, okay, Mr. I have it in my collection. Nobody's talking to you right now. Marty and I are having a conversation. So, be a host.
Marty, you sent over some figures to us, and they're from 1985. They are dollar store figures.
They are. They were available at Toys R Us as well, though. I was doing some research, and I did see somebody have a figure on card, a Bulgarian blimp on card from Toys R Us. So it had a $1.99 price tag from Toys R Us, but mostly dollar store figures. And I got them at the local grocery store in Schererville, Indiana.
So I have a quick question. What made you go down that rabbit hole of these figures?
Okay. I have always been my brother called me a toy destroyer as a kid because I would always, you know, try to, once I learned that I could unscrew G.I. Joes, I was swapping heads. And when it came to wrestling figures, that's my all-time favorite thing to sort of kit bash. These were just wrestling figures at the grocery store. And I remember just one day walking by them and being like, whoa, 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 what are these? And they were, again, like $1 or $1.99 a piece. So I think my mom, I don't know if she got all of them for me at one time, or I think I got a couple and then came back and got the rest of them. And at the time, you could get a ring, which was a pretty good ring, with two of the figures as well that came with it. So I had doubles of, I don't know if you want to start getting into the figures and sort of doing the depictions or whatever, but I had a couple doubles for tag teams and stuff. So I loved them, man. I played with them so much. I had the G.I. Joes as my jobbers for them, and it was a very fun time.
So, Scott, I'm going to have you go down the list of who these guys are, and please describe what they're wearing. But before you do, I have to preface, some of these are not politically correct. Yeah.
These are 1985.
So this was, these were the IWA Star-Studded Wrestling, made by Diamond Toy Makers in 1989. Diamond Toy Makers, I guess, they were also doing some stuff from in Japan. So apparently a couple of these wrestlers are based off of like Fist of the North Star and a couple other things like that.
Oh.
And sort of taken from sort of our wrestlers as well. But yeah, some of the names and gimmicks are not as culturally sensitive as they would be nowadays. Stores would be like, we can't sell a figure with some of these names, but back in 85, you know, it was a-okay, baby.
So Marty, if we were to put a visual in the listener's head of what these look like, I'm thinking the closest thing would be the LJN Bendy figures.
Yeah, LJN Bendy figures. That would be perfect. And I think I had some inter promotional matchups with a couple of my Bendy figures. Yeah, they were a little tinier too. They were about 3 inches, so they were a little tinier than the WWE Bendy's. And if I could talk to the maker, I would give him some static about how the poses on these. Everybody's arms are down, which is,
yes,
as we all know, not good for creating 5-star matches.
Exactly.
No Kata exactly. And Omega over on this one.
No. I was like, can we get a couple like Greg the Hammer Valentine LJN poses here, please?
So, Marty, if you're cool with it, I'll just kind of run down the line. I'll give the wrestler's name. And then when we're done, we can kind of go over what they're wearing and kind of thoughts on what they look like. And
I found the bios on some of them. Not all of them, but some of the bios are pretty ridiculous as well.
Sweet. Yes, I wanted to get into that too. So let's go down the list here. First up, we have Major Disaster.
Yes, who's the... he's just kind of he's the Sergeant Slaughter of the company.
Or as when I saw the figure, I called him Shitty Colonel DeBeers.
sure, you could do that.
Next up, we have Iron Barbarian, who, Jeff, you had a good name as to who this guy looks like.
He looked like Damian Demento.
See, agreed. I think he's sort of based off like a little bit of like a Road Warriors vibe. And
yes.
I was lucky enough to have bought him single, and then he came with the ring, so I had a tag team, and
nice.
I was so excited to have those two as a tag team.
I could totally see the Mad Max Road Warrior thing on this, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Next up, we have Killer Klondike.
Yes, he was their Hogan.
Okay, that's the Hogan.
Correct.
And so there's 8 figures total, the last of the 4 faces, because those first 3 guys are your faces. the last of the four faces, and this is not PC, the Bulgarian blimp.
That is correct. The Bulgarian blimp.
Who I guess would be a cross of Bundy.
Yeah, for sure.
Bundy and Abdullah?
Well, he's based off of Abdul the Butcher. They based a Fist of the North Star character after Abdul the Butcher, and he's based off of that figure. So yeah, in a roundabout way, he's kind of based off of Abdul the Butcher.
Got it. Okay, so now we're getting into our heels of the group.
Here's where things get problematic.
Yes, and by their names, they're very, very clearly heels in 1985. But I love that they made these figures, and they said, here's your good guys and here's your bad guys. Like, we're going to make this very cut and dried for you.
Yeah, not only did they tell you who were the good guys and the bad guys, they told you who teamed up with each other as well.
Yes.
So of the eight guys, there were four defined tag teams. And clearly, whoever put these together, I think they were a wrestling fan.
Yes.
And I think that how many times do you see figures at a dollar store and there's no thought that goes into it? It's
zero.
Like, oh yeah, put the old ninja figure and call him a luchador. Okay, yeah. Fine. Problem solved. Next. Let's move on. But
next.
This series, it really feels like, you know, a little bit of that Toys That Made Us Magic where some guy is like, yeah, you know, I just did the knockoff Star Wars bendies. Then they like, hey, Bill, you like wrestling, right? And he's like, yeah, I love wrestling. And they're like, all right, we're going to need eight wrestlers on our desk on Monday. And he was like, I can work with this.
Yes. Yep. And, you know, while I'm at it, I'm going to give them all a bio. I'm going to put them into tag teams. I'm going to separate them good guys, bad guys. Like, amazing. These are very, very cool.
For
I'm
sure.
Glad you brought these to our attention. I've never seen them before. So let's get into the heels. We've got the Suicide Sheik.
Yes. Once again, the Suicide Sheik. For my money, one of the coolest. Yeah, and his bio is something else. Yeah, he's an Iron Sheik, more of like a flamboyant Iron Sheik type character with a hot pink singlet and some aqua blue headdress and boots.
I actually kind of think he looks like maybe the Godfather wearing the Iron Sheik's gear, if the Iron Sheik wore a hot pink singlet.
Yeah.
Next up,
I could see that.
This is one of my other favorites out of these, the Russian Wolf.
Oh yeah.
What's the bio on him?
Oh, you know, just Russian Wolf. I don't know if I found his bio. He was a tough one to find his bio on. All these guys are real, you know, like just real bad dudes, or they're real cool dudes. The Russian Wolf, he teams up. Well, I don't want to say who his partner is yet. But a lot of these guys are like so bad. They got kicked out of their country or they're in jail. And they let him out just to wrestle, but there has to be four armed guards, like for Iron Barbarian, who must have done a face turn at some point because he's in jail. He's actually in jail, and four armed guards have to bring him to the matches and let him wrestle. Suicide Sheik, if you thought Suicide Sheik couldn't get any worse, his bio, he has 12 of his wives bring him to the ring with him.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Yeah, it gets interesting.
I love that. So out of the heels, I actually think Russian Wolf, now that I've seen him, he really, his figure pops. And maybe this is what Nikolai Volkoff should have looked like. But
yeah,
I feel
this is like a cool 80s version of a Nikolai Volkoff type character.
When I saw him, I thought this figure could pass for like a Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling figure.
For sure. Yeah, he's got like the kind of the bigger, you know, not exactly Sabu pants, but a little like baggier pants, black
yes.
boots, these beautiful, beautiful red baggy pants, and this like gold belt. And he's got the, you know, the Russian hat and a cool goatee. He looks like a movie, sometimes you watch movies from like the 80s or the early 90s, and it's like, hey, we're going to wrestling. And it's like, of course, a guy has like a mohawk, like the Road Warriors
yes.
and
mm-hmm.
things like that. But yep. he seems right out of a movie of like what a Russian wrestler would look like in the 80s. And don't forget his partner also, the last guy we haven't revealed yet.
Well, next up, we have King Kongo.
Yes.
Who actually, to me, looks like a Street Fighter figure.
Ooh, like Dalsim.
That definitely
yes.
looks like a video. Yeah, he looks like a video game character where it's like, I think at first they started to go with like Superfly, but then it was like it definitely went into that Street Fighter category. King Kongo and Suicide Sheik are actually partners.
Ah, okay, so that's Suicide Sheik's partner is King Kongo.
See, I give him credit for that too, because I think it would have been easy to just say that Suicide Sheik and Russian Wolf were partners because of Iron Sheik and Volkoff.
Yes.
They went a different route.
Yeah, he kind of, you're right. That did make the most sense to make the Russian and the guy at the suicide sheet. Yeah.
I like to think this guy had some integrity and he goes, no, we're not going to copy them. Give them different partners. Yeah.
We're not WWE.
I'm loving this creator. I don't know who he is, but I'm loving this creator.
We need to find this man or woman.
If anyone can, you guys will.
Last up, Kamikaze.
Just a big old giant sumo wrestler with an unfortunate name. He's the biggest one of all of them. He makes the Bulgarian blimp look actually a little smaller too. So he was long before Yokozuna. This guy was on top of my Fed. So I felt very ahead of the curve when Yokozuna came to the WWF, because I was like, I've already had the big giant Japanese heel as my champ.
Yeah, I love that they put like the Japanese flag design on the front of his trunks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's very clearly Kamikaze. Like, if you were to throw these names out and then line up the figures and be, okay, put the name underneath the figure that you think, I think 100% of people would get Kamikaze. Like, he is very clearly Kamikaze. So that rounds out your four faces and your four heels. Marty, you said that these came out in 85.
Yes.
I cannot wait, because the only one I've seen so far is Killer Klondike's bio. I cannot wait to hear the other bios that you were able to find on these guys.
Okay, so Killer Klondike, he's just your all-American guy. I can't think if I found his whole bio. Major Disaster, he's the one. His bio's all over the internet.
Yep.
He's a French. He has the French Legion of Honor, so he's like a French Legionnaire. He's embraced by Wrestling American fans since his arrival in the States. You know, he wears that eye patch not because he needs it. He wants to give his opponent an advantage because he's so skilled in wrestling. Which I think is just amazing. So that's Major Disaster. Basically, you know, with the breakdowns of some of these, like Killer Klondike is your Hulk Hogan. The Bulgarian blimp, he was excommunicated from his village in Bulgaria for eating all of the food from the winter harvest.
That's so wrong.
So he had to leave. Yeah, he had to leave and find his own way out in the world.
Go find your own food.
Yeah, like he had to make his people proud. So he went and he did that, you know. Guinness Suicide Sheik was just like, his wives bring him to the ring and he's hell-bent on destroying America, whereas, you know, Killer Klondike is the defender of America. Iron Barbarian, like I said before, he's in jail and guards have to bring him to the ring, which I always would do. And this was like, I finally got my hands on a Nails Hasbro a couple conventions ago. And I always look at him and think, what I wanted to do when I was a kid was I wanted to get Nails and then pop his head off and put a DiBiase head on there and have DiBiase go to jail for like some, you know, white collar crime. But he paid his guards to bring him to, and I had both Boss Man, so those were going to be the guards, and they were going to bring him to the matches to still wrestle. And he was like, you know, a prisoner by day, but a wrestler by night. So wow. I like this idea that the Iron Barbarian was able to do this in real life.
I love it.
So I do have a question. Were you able to find anything on the internet that there was two versions of Killer Klondike? Because one had a bloody mouth, one didn't.
Yeah, I could not find that other one everywhere. And I don't, because I had two Killer Klondikes, but they were exactly the same. So I never had the bloody mouth one. So I don't know. That seems like it was it. Because I think originally I bought a four-pack of Major Disaster, Killer Klondike, Bulgarian Blimp, and
Iron Barbarian.
Yeah, and then I think I bought the other ones, either the heels had their own pack as well, or I got them single, and then I bought the ring and got another Killer Klondike and Iron Barbarian. But they were both of the Killer Klondikes were exactly the same. I never had the Bloody Mouth one, but you do see pictures online every once in a while of them. And it was pretty easy to get them. I one night I was just like, middle of the night on eBay, I couldn't sleep, and I'm like, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to grab all those. And it was actually pretty easy.
Would you be able to describe the ring that you got?
Yeah, so the ring, which is real cool. Let me bring it up here. Hold on one second. The ring, and it was a fun little ring because it had these ropes that just each turnbuckle, you hooked the rope. So the ropes were like yellow. It was like a real fun colored ring. It was like red and gray and blue. And then you had these yellow ropes and they would just hook on. Size-wise, it was really, really good too. You would think like it would be a real tiny ring, but it was actually like a really good size ring. So I was very happy with the ring as well.
What would you compare it to?
It was, you could probably fit it inside the Hasbro ring.
Okay. Okay.
But it wasn't a whole lot smaller though. I think you could get it in there, but like with the ropes and everything, you'd be kind of like touching up to the ropes. And it was a perfect size. It was really a perfect size ring. It was great.
It wasn't cardboard like the Remco ring, right?
No, not at all. It was plastic. I'll send you guys a photo of it when I can find it. But it was great. It was a really good fig, and the quality, it was not like dollar store quality. It was actually really good quality.
Now, you mentioned that you got some of these when you were younger, right?
Yeah.
Now, how long would you wrestle with them, out of curiosity? So like for Scott and I, we usually spent 2 hours with the LJNs, 1 hour with the Remcos, kind of dividing up our time.
Mm-hmm.
How long would you spend playing with them?
I think I went on a kick. Because what was so great about these was, you know, I was able to get all of them so quick. So it wasn't like with the LJNs where it's like, well, I got this Hogan, and well, now I got Stud, but I don't have anybody for a while. So it's like, how long can you have those guys wrestle each other? So these took a lot of my attention. And, you know, I think with all the G.I. Joes I had, those could be in the crowd, or those could be I think Shipwreck was a referee. so it was like I had referees already, and I think I had some managers. I had some of the guys be the managers. So they were like, they were perfect right away, where it was just like, okay, I have all of these guys. And then I think I had to wait till Christmas to get the ring, but it was like, then I'm getting a ring. And it's like, they were very important and integral for a while. And they were just like some of my favorite figures.
Okay. I have to ask, did anybody from the crowd ever interfere in the matches?
From the crowd, like a fan?
Yeah, like
or like run-ins.
Like anybody from the crowd just interfere in the matches, say like a G.I. Joe or a
Yeah. I had every once in a while, and I would go back and forth into being like, okay, let's have all the other guys wrestle, or let's just keep it to these figures. But I had one of my all-time favorite figures from any line of any show or anything ever is the Dungeons and Dragons figure War Duke.
Oh yes. And, yes. He was awesome.
Yeah. He's just like, just somebody who was like, who knew what they liked. They were like, go ahead and make a figure out of nowhere. And he made this War Duke guy. And it's like, he's just like the ultimate figure. And he would, he came in for a while and he had a pretty big run. He was with the, he came in there and had a pretty big feud with Killer Klondike. that was a memorable one.
So I just want to make sure I have the right Dungeons and Dragons figure. War Duke was the one with that weird looking mask, right?
Yeah, he had a really cool blue mask.
Yes,
and then
blue
half
mask.
Of his side had armor and half of his side was just bare skin.
Yes, those Dungeons and Dragons figures, I mean, not to get off topic of wrestling figures here, but that was a really cool series. They had a higher price point, so I wasn't always able to get them. But I remember they had like giants and they had standard humans and then they had elf figures. I think I had like 8 or 9 of these. Like every once in a while, we would go to Toys R Us and mom would be like, well, what do you want? And I would actually pass up G.I. Joe sometimes and get the Dungeons and Dragons. Very cool figure. And yeah, War Duke. God, I had forgotten all about those. That's a great looking figure.
He was a contender. I bought him off of eBay also. Like I'm trying not to buy too much, but every once in a while, I'm just like, how do I not have War Duke? I got to buy him. So, you know, you find him with the shield and the sword and then you buy it. So
very cool.
Did you ever integrate He-Man into your wrestling figure line?
Yeah, when I first got LJNs, that was basically who Hogan was wrestling, even though he was so much bigger than all of them. That was the ones that I'm surprised I didn't have my He-Mans wrestle each other because they were so big. And but I didn't have a lot of the Remco figures. I think had I had more Remco figures, I definitely would have done that. But that whole line, I just was so much more drawn towards the G.I. Joes because I had more of them and you could wrestle better with them. They were better articulated for, you know, for match quality.
And Marty, I want to say, like, normally these type of dollar store figures, they're so often overlooked. You'll see them available for sale every now and then. And, you know, Jeff and I might even be tempted to throw something like this into Who Booked This Crap. Like, it's just, you look at them, you know, okay, it's cheapy figures. But when you dig a little bit deeper, and I'm so happy you brought these to our attention, because the attention to detail, not just on the figures of how good they look, but to turn over the package and to see that they were clearly defined faces and heels, clearly defined tag teams, who was fighting with who. They had the bios, you had a ring available, you had a box where you could get all four faces or a box where you could get all four heels. There was really a lot of thought put into this. So this is definitely kind of a diamond in the rough with like a dollar store find, like a cheaper wrestling figure. And I just want to say thank you for bringing these to our attention, and we'll definitely ship them back to you. But it's going to be hard, but we'll definitely ship them back. But these look great. I absolutely love these. And I think a fun game really would be to kind of throw the figures on the table and have people, aside from Kamikaze, because he's very clearly Kamikaze, have people guess who's who. Because these things are wild looking. I love them.
I would have, and again, talking to whoever created these, I would have loved if there was going to be a series two, or what would that have looked like, or, you know, sometimes, you know, different color gear or something like that. But yeah, I mean, it was, to me, one of the things that I really appreciated about it is like what we talked about, like these were essentially like dollar store figures. So you didn't have to do a bio. You didn't have to do anything on the back. I'm sure nobody there would have scoffed if they just said, just keep the back blank like most toys in that era. I mean, you would buy good toys sometimes in that era, and the backs would be, you know, plain. Like if you bought like the old, like, I don't know if it was like the Marvel Pocket Heroes, which were like the superhero figures that were about the size of G.I. Joe's, about three inches or so.
Yep.
And there was nothing on the back of those. Nope. So it's like this, they didn't have to do that in the bio and stuff. But to me, it clearly seems like somebody who really loved wrestling at the time was in charge of this line and put forth just a little extra effort that, to me, you know, 30 years later still goes a long way.
So out of all eight, who is your favorite?
Yes. Okay. Out of all eight, I think Iron Barbarian's my favorite.
Okay.
I think the Road Warrior-esque, cause that's just like, that's what I'm into. That's what I've always been into. I think though, I would say Iron Barbarian is number one. I would have liked him to be a little more muscular, but Russian Wolf might be number two. He was one of the cooler ones as well.
Yeah, I think Russian Wolf is my favorite because of how much he looks like he could be plucked right out of Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling. Like that was the one thing that really struck me about him is how cool he looks.
Yeah, and I would love. I mean, if I had just sort of all of the wrestling customizability, because I saw somebody, I don't know who it is, but man, did they knock it out of the park. They made, using the old Jax Deluxe Aggression figures, they made all of the original Nintendo Pro Wrestling characters.
Oh,
whoa.
And they crushed it. If you just do a search for that on Google, it's pretty easy to find. I'll look at it every once in a while. I mean, whoever made these could not have crushed it harder. It was like, it's beautiful. And I'm just like, God, if I had money, I'd be like, hey man, I got another line for you to make. You have to make all eight of these wrestlers for me.
I know what I'm looking up right when we're done recording.
Yeah.
I want to go see.
Yeah. It's so cool. They're beautiful. But yeah, if I had the ability, I would love to do that. But unfortunately I'm not that good at that stuff, but they're just great. And they all look so different. There's not just like one mold that they all share. So again, it was like clearly no two of these are exactly the same. There's no two of these that are exactly the same as far as the body, you know, I want to say body scans. I'm sure they weren't scanned, but the molds or whatever. Everybody's completely different. My only thing is I would have, if they would have talked to me, I would have had them have some different poses, because everybody except Killer Klondike's arms are down at their side and they don't really bend all that much to do stuff with.
Who did you make your champion?
Killer Klondike was, again, he was the Hogan, but every once in a while, different guys had runs. The Iron Barbarians, I wish I could remember what their names were. I'm sure it was very Hawk and Animal. Like, they were constant tag team champions. Although, I would team up the Bulgarian Blimp and Kamikaze as a tag team, though. I kind of booked my own after a little while. And then I had Kamikaze as the champ for a little while as well. He was kind of my unbeatable Andre guy, where nobody could really beat him. But then I did have Killer Klondike, who I think had to do the big splash off the top rope. I think he did it 10 times to him to win the title back in the day.
Man, killed him.
I had to really prove a point there, and I'm sure I slammed him down so hard each 10 times.
You're killing the business, Marty.
Hey, That's just that's a definitive defeat, and I think it protected Kamikaze because you needed 10 to put him away.
So you had people kicking out of finishers before people were actually kicking out of finishers.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. He was just unstoppable. He was unstoppable.
So they also, IWA, I should say, also had erasers. When you sent over the bio or the backstory to these, they also had erasers. And I don't know if you caught this.
I did. Those are like your old kind of like the knock. They're like tiny versions of the knockoff He-Man figures that you would see at the dollar store. That looked more like those.
Correct. So the person who wrote the article actually had names underneath. So it's like they obviously they had a Hogan, and the guy put mm-hmm. bearded Hulk Hogan. He had another one. It said Iron Sheik impersonator.
And these were erasers.
This is the guy who didn't care as much. Yeah, this is the guy who didn't care as much as our original creator of the line. This is like. That guy was on another job, so this guy was like, whatever, the guy who looks like Hulk Hogan, I don't care.
Yeah. Well, one of my favorites is eye patch wearing guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Not to be confused with Major Disaster.
Correct.
Yeah.
Pointy head masked guy, and he said, I call this guy Ed. Like, there was no thought. Ed. This is Ed.
He just looked like a guy he knew called Ed. So he's like, hey, it's Ed.
Okay. This is the guy I met at the bar the other night. His name's Ed. I just love how there's like kind of thought behind this. And there was
a lot of thought.
Yeah, there was bios and there was stuff to kind of give you a backstory to each one of these characters. And that's what's so cool about this. And it makes it different from other and. We've been using the term dollar store, but like you said, you found these at Toys R Us for $1.99, but the kind of the general term is dollar store, but it's different from any other dollar store figures that you might have found at that time because of the bios and the backstory behind these, you know, 12 women bringing them to the ring and stuff like that. You know?
I mean, I think it's different than you'd find today. I mean, go to a dollar store today and grab like a you know, like a luchador fake, you know, a knockoff wrestler or something like that. Like there's no thought that goes into it like these. This was just kind of like unbelievable.
These are great.
And you can get them all on eBay. Usually I was lucky to get a couple. Like I think I got like four together and then I had to pick off the other ones one by one. But they're all pretty reasonable. I think I got all of them, for around like 10 to 15 bucks a piece, maybe.
Oh, that's so worth it. And watch what's going to happen now, Marty, that you've given these your blessing or your endorsement.
Yes.
Values are going to skyrocket.
Listen, before you post this, if you want them, you guys got to get on there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Jeff's already on eBay.
Before this becomes a... but, you know, it was just... Again, this goes back to that. You know, not that I'm a big completist at all, but it was kind of like, oh, I can get all of these in one, you know, in one evening of, you know, sitting down and checking through eBay. So I was very excited that I was able to get them all. And then once I got them all, I mean, that's just like the nostalgia of having them all out on my desk and just looking at them was just like so cool. And they all came like within 2 days of each other. So I waited till I had them all and then I opened them up and it was just like going back in time. It was so fun.
That's what it's all about.
How often did you collect dollar store figures or anything like that?
I wasn't a big dollar store guy. I think it would just kind of be like, if they were, because again, I got these at the grocery store. Uh-huh. So I wasn't, you know, going to dollar stores that much until I would say till I got a little older. And then I was like, you know, if I could find somebody who looked like a wrestler or something like that, or if I could pop a head off something and use it in a custom, that's when I was more getting dollar store stuff, you know, kind of like the knockoff ECW type figures and things like that. That's when I was sort of going to dollar stores more.
Scott, which one's your favorite?
Oh, out of all these, the Russian Wolf.
The Russian Wolf.
Yeah, like I said, just based on his appearance, looked like he could be in Hulk Hogan's Rock and Wrestling in 1985 when these were released. Mm-hmm. So he's easily my favorite out of all these. They're all great, but he's my favorite. That's a lot of detail on that little bendy guy right there.
Yeah.
And again, this was 1985. It's not politically correct nowadays.
Oh, but... yeah, some of the names. Yeah, for sure.
Oh, yeah. That would not fly nowadays.
No, definitely not.
Did you ever integrate these with any other wrestling figure line?
Yeah, once I started getting Hasbros, I still had a couple of these guys mm-hmm. and they were definitely some jobbers. I had, for some reason, I just had Bulgarian Blimp and the Suicide Sheik. So they were just jobbers when I had the Hasbros, and I wish I gave them more respect. You know, I wish I could have made. I would have, if I could go back in time. I would have had Suicide Sheik been like a nice manager or something like that. I wouldn't have disrespected him so much to just have him as a handy talent.
Killer Klondike was Dale Wolf, huh?
Yeah, I know. It'd be like, oh, you guys had such a good run, but unfortunately, it's like, yeah, Vince just bought the territory, and now you're all just going to be jobbers. I'm so sorry.
Who's Iron Mike Sharp, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm painting. I'm using electric tape to put a big arm brace on Killer Klondike.
Marty, so we've mentioned G.I. Joe a couple of times. So this is obviously supposed to be about wrestling figures, but I know a lot of our listeners love G.I. Joe. They had a showing at the toy fair.
To a lot of your listeners, G.I. Joes are wrestling figures. Make no mistake about it.
Yes.
G.I. Joes are wrestling figures in a lot of people's minds.
Yeah, I love how you incorporated them into your federations. It's really hard to please us. Those of us, and you're one of them for sure, that grew up with the 3 3/4 inch line, not just the figures, but the vehicles, the play sets, there was so much. That line is deep. What are your thoughts on the new, I don't know what you thought about all of the different reincarnations of G.I. Joe since 1982, like the Sigma 6 or the larger scale figures. What are your thoughts on the new 6 inch figures?
I think it's so cool. And maybe it's because they haven't had, you know, figures on the shelves in so long. It's just like, and after the Star Wars Black Series, it's like, yeah, these are the best figures. They should be with those same other ones. And I wasn't into the Sigma 6 figures or anything like that. But these new ones, it's just like, I don't know how many I'll grab. I'll definitely, like most people, probably grab like Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow. I've just seen the Snake Eyes, and then I recently saw Scarlet and Roadblock. And they look cool. They look kind of like that, almost like they were based off of that that G.I. Joe, how was it, Resolute or something. They did a kind of a more adult cartoon that you can get if you have one of those, like, I think it's on like Tubi or something, or one of those like streaming services. And it's great. So they looked a little more in that sort of era of G.I. Joe, which is cool. But yeah, I think it'll be so cool to just see the classic versions of these figures, and I think the fan base will grab them up. And you can have Cody versus Snake Eyes now, so who doesn't want that match?
Exactly. I agree with you. I love the looks of them. I actually like that they took Roadblock's second figure and sculpted him off of that instead of his first. I think I actually like the second release a little bit more than the first one, actually. But I think you're right. It is more of that Resolute look, where it was more adult-oriented. And I think this is just kind of G.I. Joe growing up. And I think the figures look great. I agree with you. I'm definitely looking at that Snake Eyes. He's $40, but man, what a figure. My only complaint is with this larger scale, I think it's going to affect how many vehicles and playsets they're able to release just because of the scale that has to fit with the figures. I think that's really going to limit what they're able to put out in terms of vehicles and playsets around the figure line.
Yeah, it's kind of sort of counterintuitive, because the reason why they went smaller was to really promote the vehicles, or the figures were supposed to be kind of an afterthought, but the figures kind of became so popular. So I think you're right there. I mean, I don't think we're going to get like a USS Flag anytime soon. That would be the most insane Kickstarter of all, or whatever they do, where it's like, you know, you got to donate X amount of money to get this going. But I definitely think that the fan base is more figure, you know, sort of more figure oriented. So I don't know. Obviously there's going to be they're going to want, you know, a his tank and this or that, but I don't know. And it's interesting too, cause I watch a lot of, YouTube collector videos. And a lot of them, it seems they're very much like when G.I. Joe started getting real sci-fi and wild, that's where they lost some of the people.
Yes.
So I think they're very much like military based. They want those original sort of military based figures and stuff like that. So I think that they're going to be very happy to have the figures. I don't think there's going to be like, ah, screw this, we want the vehicles or nothing. I think everyone's just happy to have G.I. Joe back in the conversation.
Marty, did you have the aircraft carrier when you were younger?
No way. No, my neighbor did. And whenever I would go over there, I would just like marvel at it. And I don't have anywhere to put it in my tiny apartment, but I bought a replica of the box of the USS Flag. And, you know, as soon as we get a bigger place, that's definitely going up on the wall somewhere.
Nice. That was kind of my one regret when I saw that they were going. I mean, everything seems to be going to that scale now, and I actually wanted to get into that after this conversation. But everything seems to be going to that 6-inch scale, and that was my only regret because, like you, Marty, I never had an aircraft carrier. I mean, I was blessed with my parents. They got me everything I ever wanted, really. But that aircraft carrier, still today, 46, almost 46 years old, I still don't have that aircraft carrier, and it is, like you, I had a friend that had it, and every time I went over his house, I wanted to play with it.
My dream as a kid was, obviously, you know, my basement would be one corner dedicated to my wrestling stuff, one G.I. Joe. I remember being at a carpet store one time and seeing that they had, like aqua blue carpet. I'm like, oh my God, I would have a bunch of aqua blue carpet, and I'd have the USS flag on that. And then I thought, one day I thought, oh my God, had I been able to put my Hasbro ring on top of the USS flag and have Luger slam Yoko, it would have been like, I think that would have been the end of, I would have just put everything away and I would have been like, that's it. It can't get any better than this.
Yeah, you jumped the shark with that move.
Yeah. Lex Luger just slammed Yoko. I would have had the helicopter fly him down. Wild Bill would have picked the tomahawk down and Luger would have gotten out and body sent Yoko on the deck of the USS flag. And then I think, I would have went, you know what? I'm ready to start dating girls now. I think I can put the toys away. It doesn't get any better than this.
I have a quick question. When you're around the wrestlers, do you hear a lot of wrestlers talking about figures?
I always, whenever anybody gets like a figure, especially like with the FTCs and stuff, I always want to ask them, like, whoa, what do you think of your figure? Jeff Cobb was like blown away with his figure. He was so happy and so excited to talk about it.
Yeah.
And then there's other guys who are just like, I don't care. Who cares about figures? Who cares? You know? So it's kind of fun when some are more into it than others.
Right. I know Jeff Cobb was excited. I mean, Christy Petrillo told us that. But then also when I met Jeff Cobb at All Pro Wrestling out here in Daly City, he was over the moon. He was happy to sign it. He was just so stoked. He was eager to talk about it too.
Yeah, he was very happy. They put a jacket in there too. He was like, he was real excited about it and stuff. And I know the War Machine guys were really, they were really happy with their figures too.
We've been talking about the scales of the figures a lot recently, and Jeff and I kind of have a differing viewpoint. I'm thinking that the 6-inch scale seems to be, or at least around the 6-inch scale, seems to really be the standard that a lot of companies are moving towards. Just seems that that is kind of the happy medium that they found that all kids gravitate towards. And it seems to be the moneymaker for them. But Jeff kind of goes the opposite direction as he's looking at all of his wrestling figures on his shelf. They're all a different scale. Like you have LJNs, and then you have Remcos, and then you have Galoobs and Hasbros. And they were all very unique in their own way. And Jeff always says, like, when he was a kid in the 80s and the 90s, when he would walk down a Toys R Us aisle, you could look to the left and the right, and everything was in a different scale, everything was a different color, and everything kind of popped. Marty, what are your thoughts on that? Do you like the uniformity of everything being in that 6-inch scale? And not just with wrestling figures, because we can talk about dream matches all day, but really, like, from Star Wars to Mattel Legends with the Marvel Legends, and then with your WWE, everything seems to be the same scale, and Jeff kind of prefers the uniqueness of having different scales. Kind of what's your take on that?
I do see both sides of that, because if it was all uniformal, it would be like, you know, the retros wouldn't stand out, or the Galoob, you know, I liked how the Galoobs and the Hasbros were similar, so you could sort of play with them together. I think it's cool if you're a collector. The 6-inch thing seems to be the sort of the standard for everybody. But I don't know, and maybe it's because of like LJNs and stuff. I just kind of think wrestling figures should be just a little bigger than every other type of figure, just to kind of show our dominance over all other figures. So maybe like a little uniformly, like, all right, we'll go 7 inches, and then we can get a little bigger muscles and stuff like that. Because there are some figures I see where I'm just like, they should be bigger, you know? I'm like, why aren't they bigger? Why aren't there more muscles on these guys? Where some of the Mattels I look at, and I'm like, this guy needs to hit the gym. Like, he looks so small.
He's calling Delaney.
But I think it's cool. Yeah, I think it's cool that you know, there's a lot of that, you know, uniformal that everybody, and I think it's because action figure collectors are making figures now, so it's kind of like, I don't want to, you know, make everybody mad by going 8 inches instead of 6 inches, and they can all kind of live in that same world. And on the shelf, it's sort of nice and uniformal. But, you know, I think as far as like a sideline goes, like I thought Mattel had the best of both worlds, where it's like we got our main line, but then we've got these fun retros too that we can kind of play with. Mm-hmm. So I sort of think that a little variety is fun every once in a while. And, you know, there's just certain things that a company like these IWA Bendies, they're probably like, there's no way we can be as big as the LJNs. We just don't have that kind of money. So it's kind of cool that there are those different sizes.
Yeah. And regarding the figure size, we met Bill from Mattel a couple years ago at a convention, and the retros had been announced and released. And so that got us to thinking, kind of when Jax did that love letter in their Classic Superstars line to the LJNs, since Mattel was doing a Hasbro love letter, we asked Bill, what are the chances, even on like a Chase or a variant kind of thing, what are the chances of getting like an LJN scale figure put into your main releases? And his big thing was that scale doesn't play at market today. So even 2 years ago, it seemed like everything was kind of trending toward that 6 inch. And like you, Marty, I kind of see both sides of the argument. The uniformity, just being able to cross promote between all your different toys. Because I always come at it from a kid's angle. Like you had G.I. Joes playing with your Bendies, playing with your Hasbros. You kind of had everybody in the pool together. And I get that. I like that part of it. I always look at it from being a kid. But it just seems from a retail or a making money perspective, it really seems like this 6-inch scale is dominating the day. And I hope that maybe it's just a trend, and down the road we'll get that where not everybody is so uniform.
Yeah, I think there will be somebody who, because it was interesting, I was watching, there's a YouTube channel called Toy Galaxy. I think he's like the best that he does kind of these little mini.
Oh, he's fantastic.
Yeah, he does these little mini documentaries about these figure lines. And they were talking about when the Star Wars figures came out, when they re-released some of the old ones again. It was at Power of the Force, I think it was.
Yes.
This was in like 96. Mm-hmm. And they were all buff. And they were talking to the guy. And he was like, on the shelf, the X-Men figures were like, the superhero figures were like the biggest thing. And he's like, we couldn't put these like wimpy regular size figures up there next to these big muscular guys. So I think they felt a little insecure. And that's why you have these Star Wars figures that look like they're all jacked up. And it's like, what is this?
How much weightlifting are they doing in space?
Yeah, I didn't know Lando was as big as like John Cena. So it's pretty interesting to see.
You don't get that buff drinking Colt 45. Come on.
But I think that eventually there might be somebody who's like, you know what? Everybody's doing this. That's always the perfect time for somebody to come out with something different and be like, you know what we're going to do? We're going to do this. But I think things have kind of settled with collectors and the figure makers, where it's like, you know, you still have kind of the old, and like you saw with the New Japan or whatever, it's like, there's like the Star Wars style, the 5-point articulation figures. Mm-hmm. And then you've got these 6-inch figures, and then, you know, you can play around with a line or two, but I think that's sort of the standard going forward. Because I know, again, talking to my comic book friends, like DC always has sort of a problem putting out scaled figures where they're always just a little taller or a little smaller, and it kind of drives people crazy, and that could cost you sometimes. So that's definitely, it goes into the idea of making a line of figures of like, well, everybody's doing 6-inch, we better do 6-inch.
Well, that's what McFarlane just did with the DC collectibles with Batman, Harley Quinn, Superman. He put out a 7-inch scale, and I thought they looked fantastic.
They did, but I was at a comic book shop yesterday, and I was talking to a couple people there, and they were not happy that he went 7 inches. They were pissed off. So he might have cost himself some sales.
That's what I've been hearing, is some people were so upset because they weren't in scale with Marvel Legends. And it's kind of like, okay, well, if you want Marvel Legends, go buy Marvel Legends. You know, this is a whole different universe. So
yeah,
why not accept this? This is awesome. Even me, who doesn't pay attention to comic books or anything like that, I'm walking down the aisle and I see these, and I'm like, man, these are fantastic. Like, they catch my eyes, say the least.
And they're large.
Yes.
Yep.
I love them. I think they're fantastic. I don't have the money to go into it because now we have 5 people in the pool of wrestling figures. But if I was a general collector, I would be all over these.
Yeah, but I think had they checked in with the fully posable boys of the world, they would have said, I don't know if you want to go over against 6-inch.
Marty, with all of, as Jeff just mentioned, all of these new players in the wrestling figure market, how are you going to deal with the wallet heat? Because the list, Mattel, Super 7, Boss Fight, all of these people releasing these great figures, and we often overlook Storm because they don't have a large release of figures, but when they do release a figure, it's a must purchase. How are you kind of distributing your figure money now? You mentioned earlier you're kind of putting all these figures side by side. It's like buying a car now. We're really like you're putting the lines all next to each other on your computer screen and going, okay, I want this one and this one and this one. It's getting really difficult to figure out how to distribute your money across all these lines.
Yeah, it's tough to, I mean, you know, I wish that there was still Toys R Us where you could just go and see them all and touch them all and see which ones you're going to get or whatever. You know, I have a feeling if one day I'm at one of those city Targets and I go around the corner and there's all those AEW figures, there's going to be like that panic of like, oh God, do I just buy them all right now? Or do I just buy one of them? Or what do I do? What do I do? I don't know. It's going to be interesting. You know, fortunately for us and our wallets, you know, these manufacturers just don't seem to put these in stores. So it's easier to just look at them on a computer and not do an impulse buy as if you were at a place or whatever. But I mean, think about wrestling conventions in about 5 years, how different the landscape of a table is going to look with wrestling figures of just like all the old AEW figures that will be 5 years old or 4 years old by then. And then you got, you know, the New Japan figures out there. It's going to be real interesting. And it'll be interesting to see how that affects prices of the old stuff. And if, you know, now all of a sudden it's like, all right, now these jacks are even cheaper, which I love grabbing a bunch of, you know, jacks to use for kit bashing and stuff. And also too, how these heads look on a jacks figure. Well, that might have a little something to do with what I purchase as well. I still love popping heads off and throwing them on.
Did you happen to pick up the Ogata figure from Super 7?
No, I did not.
Oh, okay.
I want to see him. I want to see it in person before I make some of these figures too, especially when you're talking like 20, 30, 40 bucks. It's like,
I
would really love to see him in person first. And that's a big part of it for me.
Marty, what are you hunting for now? Like you said, you either go to comic book stores and conventions. What's kind of your grail piece right now that you're really hunting for?
There's really nothing right now. I'm just kind of waiting. Like I picked up all those IWA guys. I look for the ring every once in a while. I can never find it. It seems like I'm afraid to think if it ever popped up, how much it would cost. But I don't need. And it's not the biggest deal in the world to grab that ring. But I'm really just waiting right now to see what everything's going to look like. I told you I picked up that Nails finally, and I'm just sort of I'm just waiting to see what all these new figures look like. And then if I see it and all of a sudden I get that feeling like when I used to, you know, walk around that aisle at a Toys R Us and saw all those Jax figures and all those ECW figures and the WCW, you know, I was like, oh boy, then we'll see. But until then, I'm just kind of waiting to see what everything looks like. And I cannot stress, I want side-by-side figures so bad. I know that the Toy Fair, it's not like they could, you know, could do, I don't know. How hard would it be to just be like, hey, we just happen to have a Elite Ricochet, and let's just stand up right next to Cody and just give you guys an idea of what we're working with here. But, you know, that'll be done very soon, I'm sure. We'll see what those comparisons look like.
And what about outside of wrestling figures? Is there anything like DC, Marvel, anything you're looking for?
G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe for sure.
Same.
I mean, obviously, Snake Eyes and Storm Shadow, those will be purchased as soon as that's humanly possible. But we'll see about the other ones. Like I don't have the space or really even the desire to be like, I'm going to get every G.I. Joe figure. Because I know once those start coming, if that line continues, it will just keep on coming. Because I think they have like over 400 figures they made in the original series or something like that. Some crazy amount. But I think, though, it's just going to be I'm like a cherry picker, you know. It's like I'm going to get the New Japan figures if I like them. I'm going to get the AEW figures if I like them. So that's how it's going to go.
Also, if you were to book Series 2, if they gave you a call, Super 7 being they, called you and said, hey, give us four names for Series 2, who would you throw in there?
Oh, baby. you're going to really throw me on the spot here, huh? Okay. I would love to see – we don't have a Naito yet, correct?
Correct.
Correct.
Okay. I would love to see Naito. I would really like I really think like a Jay White would be kind of fun. Mm-hmm. And I think if we could get like, I wouldn't mind like an old school figure too. like maybe like an old school like Chono or Hashimoto or something like that. Ooh. Would be really cool. Uh-huh. You know, maybe a Shingo or a Takahashi or something like that. Like, I just keep thinking now, I'm like, oh, this one. but definitely, you know, oh God, then you got Sonata too. This is so hard to do. But
yeah. You only get four names.
Takahashi, Naito, Jay White, and we'll go with, if they can do a Shibata for me, I'd really appreciate that.
Ooh, Shibata would be awesome to get too.
Yeah.
Very solid. So we haven't really mentioned Storm Collectibles too much, because they really don't do a ton of wrestling, but with the Hogans, we know that the work that they do is incredible. The Jushin Liger figure is amazing. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to kind of piggyback on Jeff's question about NJPW Super 7 here, if you had the poll and Storm came to you, Marty, and said, okay, who's our next one figure that we're going to make and we can do variants, whatever, who would you have him make?
Besides the Iron Barbarian.
that was my answer.
Know, I mean, yeah, I just think like, you know, you with those big giant deluxe figures, like, you really can't go wrong with, like, an Okada with his full gear that he comes out in, like, a beautiful robe and stuff, or a Tanahashi. Something like that is just, like, so, just, like, when they come out, you're like, oh, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. Something like that. Okada's, like, blue light gear from Wrestle Kingdom would be amazing.
Mm-hmm.
There's just certain wrestlers that just scream, like, this is who you want. And a guy like Okada, I mean, obviously, like, a guy like Shibata, I'd love a figure for him, but that's not, like, when you're talking deluxe figures, you're not talking, you know, Shibata, but somebody like a Okada or a Tanahashi just seemed tailor-made for that. I mean, it would kind of be like a little more deluxe than the New Japan figures that came out.
Gotcha. My pick would be Muda. I think Muda is long overdue for a U.S. release.
Yeah, I think people would definitely grab that. As far as the old guard, I think that's like, he's the guy who I think a lot of people would definitely be into.
Yeah, and I mean, alternate heads, they could do the different face paints. Who even knows how many different variants they could do of Muda and the head or the headgear that he had, the mask. Oh, man, I think Storm would kill it on a great Muda. That's my wish list.
And he's got to come with Gary Hart.
That's his accessory, yeah.
Absolutely. You got to come with Gary Hart. Absolutely got to come with Gary Hart. Another figure that because I know you guys love and respect of all figures that are Macho Man related. I was watching the Royal Rumble 90, and Macho King's gear in that is one of the, I like had to watch, I had to have Sarah watch it. He's wearing this like aqua blue tights and these orange boots. It's like, yes, some of the greatest gear, yep, of all time. And I don't know if that's just kind of slid under the radar, but I was like, oh my God, if they could make an Elite with this, like, it would be so awesome. I had no idea this was my favorite Macho Man gear of all time. I thought it would be the white Mania gear, but this, I was just like, oh my God, this was amazing.
That's like the figure they showed off yesterday with Natty from early OVW days.
I saw that and I was like, who is this? And mm-hmm. then I saw Natty and I was like, whoa, this is like a weird... That was an interesting choice as far as going with that figure. Good for Natty, but like, just a weird, that to me, I was like, what a weird choice for a figure.
That's what the general consensus was, is everybody was kind of like, wait, who is that? Like, a lot of people thought it was Moolah.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was like, oh, I thought it was Moolah. I was on my phone. So at first I thought it was Moolah. Then I was like, there's no way they're making a Moolah figure. Right. And then I thought it was like a Wendy Richter type of figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was like, oh, it's Natty. I was like, whoa, that's real weird.
And I thought it was weird too that, okay, you're going to give us an OVW or OVW or FCW for Natty.
I think it was OVW.
That would be OVW.
Yeah. OVW. But we can't get Rock and Roll Express figures? Really? You go super deep with a Natty figure like that? I mean, I love it. I think it's great. But man, you start going down that rabbit hole with older figures from like indie promotions almost. Like,
they don't have the rights to them.
Well, you know what? Hopefully AEW does.
I don't think it's that hard to get the rights to the Rock and Roll Express. I feel like they could figure that out real quick and get that done.
You can probably pay them in like Cracker Barrel gift certificates.
I'm telling you. And you never know with these AEW figures where, you know, just how far outside the line they're going to go. I mean, they still have a full roster of people to put together.
Yeah.
But yeah, that could be pretty wild.
Yep. Marty, we want to thank you for sending these over. We greatly, greatly appreciate this. Is there anything else you want to mention about these before we sign off?
No, just, you know, if you can track them down, enjoy them. I'd love to know other people's feedback. And feel free to, enjoy them. Take as many pics as you want with other figures and just show the world this awesome little series that, like we said, somebody put a lot of heart and soul into, which I appreciate.
Definitely. And I can tell you, we're going to jump on eBay and buy our own sets before this episode drops, because watch market values, Marty. They're going to skyrocket.
Look at us. That's we're influencers, I guess. We can officially call ourselves influencers. We did it.
After this show drops, somebody's going to have that ring for you.
Oh, that would be a dream come true. I feel like I try to pass the good along, and if anybody could ever find that would be insane.
Yeah, you haven't really used the Fig Life much, so Fig Life, if you're listening to this, hunt down that ring, contact Marty, take care of this man.
Oh, baby, that would be unbelievable.
Marty, why don't you get your plugs out of the way one more time?
Once again, if you're at WrestleCon, come on out to $5 Wrestling, Thursday night, 11:59. PM also every Friday on the MLW Radio Network. Marty and Sarah Love Wrestling with me and Sarah Joy Shockey, and at Marty DeRosa on all the social media platforms.
And again, from us Toon Boys over here, we congratulate you on your comedy album. That's big, man.
Oh, thanks.
That's big.
Check it out. It's on iTunes or Spotify, I believe. Live from Parts Unknown. Not children friendly. If you're listening in the car with the kids, wait till the kids fall asleep, then pop it on.
Don't bring your kids. And Marty, thank you for being on today. We really, really appreciate your time, and I cannot wait to see you and Sarah in Tampa. I'm really looking forward to it.
All right, guys. I'll see you then.
All right, Marty. Take care.
All right. Thanks.
Let's go! Jeff and Scott, the two brothers, busting out the ring. But we don't take it out the box, M.O.C. Happy toy hunting, we'll see you next week. We're the OGs of WFP. Fully Posable, thank you all for listening. It ain't no storyline, real life siblings. So everybody go and do your toy spotting. Hashtag Fit Life, adios from the Kings.